On a Tuesday of all days, never. Maybe on a Friday. It's the morning show, folks. Welcome to it if you've just joined us. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we'd be in conversation with members of the Save Zen Park Initiative, which is growing by the day. The public discovered by dint of, I'm not really sure how, but a week or so back, as recently as that, it became known through announcement on social media that a school was to be built, or the proposal was that a school was to be built on a section of open space in the center of the Balito residential area in the vicinity of what is called Zen Park. Now, historically, Zen Park has included a large wooded copse, a very interesting piece of reserve territory, which 50 odd years ago, and you might recall that 50 years ago, the country was a very different place. For example, we wouldn't be swimming on the same beaches or sharing the same recreational facilities. What a lovely place that was. And do we really want to go back there and impose what was considered to be appropriate 50 years ago on the current status quo? I'd possibly think not. So put that in a box and leave it where it belongs. But nonetheless, the proposal is for the residual green space, and it is the last remaining green belt, big green belt, in Balito. If you go onto Google Earth and look down on our beloved town, you will see that there are a few little patches of green, the largest of which is this piece of ground that is now considered appropriate to develop for the reason that it was zoned 50 years ago, educational. 50 years ago, Balito was tiny, it was minute, a small retirement stroke fishing stroke holiday village. And where the proposed school site was really out on the peripheral areas, on the verges, on the where schools and recreational facilities should be, so they don't impose noise and disruption on residential communities. Having said that, as things have grown and that area has become completely locked, if you like, by a vibrant residential area, it would seem that the area is no longer suitable for anything other than what it is, which is a great green belt, a lung, a park. Lots of creatures that have been displaced from their natural habitat have been forced into this last remaining island, if you like, of green. It isn't perfect. It has been severely damaged over time. It was, after all, a sugarcane field before 50 years ago. But it's grown and it's developed and it has become the last refuge of many creatures, small creatures, micro creatures in many instances. You know, have you seen the legless skink or the flap-necked chameleon or the plethora of insects that live in that environment, let alone the duiker, let alone the bush babies and monkeys and, like, gosh, bird life. Lose that, it's gone forever. Okay, so now that maybe sets the scene. I am not really qualified to comment on the legalese of it, simply as a media man to put the story on the table and invite my special guests this morning, Richard and Sasha, to explain, because they are intimately involved, having purchased property and established families in that wonderful environment because of its proximity to the park and the green belt and the joy of having creatures great and small popping in to visit from time to time and being able to walk freely and explore. And the prospect of losing that to a commercial development has created some distress. Not simply because of the proposal, but the way that it has come about. So welcome to you, Richard. Welcome to you, Sasha. And possibly over to you, because you are behind the movement to save the park. Oh, hang on a second. I need to give you a microphone. That would help.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, my fellow Balitonians, as I've decided to call us all. My name is Sasha. I've decided that this is an important thing for me. I'm the person. I speak for the trees. My kids are grown. I go to Zen Park every day. I go restore my soul. Zen Park is a beautiful, beautiful space. As you said quite rightly, it's the lung of Ballito. So not only from an environmental point of view that it is oxygen, it's clean air, it's a safe space for the animals, which is already so drastically diminished with the extensive development and growth in Ballito in the last 20 years. We've just burst out of our seams, let's be honest. So, you know, as you also said quite rightly, 50 years ago, having zoned an area for educational purposes, that needs to be revised. It needs to be re-looked at. Town planning needs to jump in here and say, look, this is no longer the most efficient way of using this area. And from a future preservation point of view, if we eradicate all our green areas, what is ultimately going to be left?
Yeah.
You can't just regain it. You can't just get it back. You can't lease something for 30 years and say, oh, okay, no worries. Here it is back, pristine as we left it, as we found it.
Just to put things in perspective, what many have said, and I think they're right, is, look, it was zoned educational. It's always been coming. The idea of a school, always, because that's the way it is. The Department of Public Works owns the property, and they can do with that as they choose under the current circumstances, unless things change. Now clearly, well, the conditions under which the property was selected, I would imagine, have changed. But the legal status of the property hasn't changed. It is still zoned educational, and as such, the Public Works Department has now decided it's time. Let's commercialize it. Let's use it. Let's build on it. If it was privately held property and they decided suddenly we're now going to build our shopping center on it, there would be a similar outcry, but it would be all over by the shouting. You can't. Why? It's held by an entity. In this case, though, I believe there might be a point to be made that, does the government not act for the people, and should the people not have an opportunity in a democratic way to voice their concerns as to what is appropriate, what is valuable for the majority? I'm not talking about the few that stand to benefit, because clearly if it was my opportunity to lease a piece of land to build a school, have you done the sums, by the way? If you have 240 kids at the school, average from 1,000 rand a month to 4,500 rand a month, this is a big business.
That's a profitable endeavor.
It's a very big business. So let's not fool ourselves that it's a quiet, meek and mild little thing. There's money behind it, and there's money to be made. So let's put that in a box and take it from where it comes. My question is the process. Why, if this proposal has been advertised for public input and it's been in circulation for the past 3 years, why has not a single soul in the community that is most affected by it been aware of what's been going on? Because it seems like it's been very, very subterfugious, if that's a word one can use. It's been done under a sort of clandestine cover.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, absolutely. But what I think is, as you say, is, if it were private property, 100%. That is how capitalism works. We own our property, we buy our property, we do with our property as we want. But this is a community. And I agree with you 100%. The government is the spokesperson for the community. The government is not, or shouldn't be, a business entity that just makes decisions because they are empowered by the community. So now if the community, which we've already been growing steadily, and we've got 216 members, Rich, on our group. We're all standing together and saying we really don't want this to happen. Surely I'm feeling the government should go, let's listen to the people who empower us.
Well, there has been legal opinion, and it would appear that legal opinion has been engaged now to take on the challenge of unpacking the process, whether it's been legally followed, because there is a process that is legal, and there are requirements that need to be, well, there is a process that needs to be followed, and every step of that process needs to be done correctly.
Yes.
Before the final go-ahead is given. And nothing can be done on that site, I need to emphasize this, until such time as the local government, Guaduguza Municipality, has signed off on all of the plans. Now, we hear that they have conducted a traffic management or a traffic flow study to determine whether this is going to cause additional congestion. No one's seen that, of course, but apparently it has been done. I'd be very curious to see that.
So would I. So would I. I'm thinking if we conduct a little experiment and suddenly add 200 cars to a specific time, school dropping time, and see what difference that makes on Zen mm-hmm. Road, and have all these 200 extra cars trying to get out of Ballito
well,
or
clearly
into Ballito.
It would be silly. But the point is this, that the process so far seems to have followed a rather curious route. When I say curious, it has been kept very, very hush, very, very quiet, and now has been presented as a ta-da, we're going to start building in December. Originally was what was on social media as a proposal. Well, that was a bit of a shock. And the legal eagles are saying, guys, hold your horses. Do not whip up emotion and sentiment and come with, you know, what the government should or shouldn't. Let's just go back to first principles and examine how this has come about, who's behind it, who has signed off on studies, how have they been conducted. Is there no way that the public participation process can be revisited? And if that public participation process proves that there is a great appetite for the current status quo to remain, in fact, an appetite to acquire that last residual forest in Ballito and rehabilitate it properly and manage it and maintain it properly for the benefit of all, including the future generation that's going to have the advantage of a good education, hopefully from the school that is proposing to give them the good education, just not necessarily in the last remaining green belt. There must be different locations that are more suited to this endeavor.
Absolutely. And well, that is what we stand for. We're not opposed to the school. That is not what this movement's 100%. About. This movement is about, we want to save our green space. And you phrased it so beautifully now. In educating humanity, we need to preserve our green spaces. We need to save our planet. There's no plan B. There's no other green spaces, ultimately, when we've used everything. So is education at its most fundamental, not to be a human being first and to save your environment?
We need to lead by example in this case. You know, we need to look at this and say, the process doesn't look like it's followed properly. This bomb has been dropped on us. We're not against the school, but the school is teaching children, and we need to leave those children a good moral framework to, by example, and a legacy of some green places. That's what we're asking for. You know, we need transparency. No sneaking around. Let's do things by the book. Let's save this for the future.
And clearly there is a growing movement that is gathering momentum and gathering steam and showing incredible support for this initiative. It is interesting to see how folk that are not normally moved by anything, when it comes to issues like this, are suddenly very moved. And it is going to be, I think, extraordinarily interesting to follow the process and the progress of what transpires. But for those that are listening to this and having possibly read an article in local courier newspaper, which would appear to have been, shall we say, it was a...
Well, it was written by one of the parents in the school, so there's obviously a bit of bias there. You know, it doesn't seem to be fair.
Well,
and people are outraged.
Having read that article without any framework of knowledge before that, one might say, but you know, you're being unreasonable. They're doing a lovely thing. This is going to be a gorgeous environment of learning, and I'm sure it will be. But behind the scenes and the background story to this is much bigger. And that wasn't, I don't believe, properly explained, and it certainly wasn't covered in the manner that one was hoping that it might be, because clearly there are two sides to every story, and in many cases three, and it's important for all sides to be heard, and for measured cool heads to prevail for the best possible outcome. And if the best possible outcome is that park, as it is right now, must be lost to progress, if one has given it due diligence and looked at all of the options and there is no alternative, well, then one must accept that with grace. But do you believe that there is no alternative in this kind of scenario, looking at where we live and how how much open space is available on the perimeters of the town and the environment that continues to grow exponentially? Then I think it's incumbent on all of us to look coolly and calmly at what is best for the school, what is best for the community, and what is best for the municipality. Ultimately, there is an election coming up, and one must never lose sight of that. So, you know, there's lots and lots at stake here, and I believe that there's still lots of investigating to be done. We'll be following it with great excitement and interest, because it affects us all. It affects the value of many, many, many properties, which is a ratepayers initiative as well, no doubt. I'm quite surprised that the Resident Ratepayers Association has been so silent on the matter.
Yes.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
We'd like to see you come to the party.
We know who you are. I'm Danny. You know, they're good guys. But I'm sure they will do the right thing. But we'll watch it closely. And thank you so much for bringing it to the attention of the world, because it is now sort of the focal point now is Balito and these issues that are of huge concern. This one, a burning issue. My very special guests, Sasha and Richard, thank you for joining me on the morning show. We will have a repeat of this conversation in a short while when more has been revealed.
100%. Can I just finish off by saying that for us, we don't feel to lose the park will be a win. We agree with you wholeheartedly. There are many, many other areas outside of the current town perimeters where the school can have an incredible clean slate to build a beautiful school, a beautiful environment. We just don't want it to be its end.
And you'll even run a campaign to raise money for it, won't you?
Well, we already have multiple members that have said we're going to do some fundraising. So 100%. No, we're on that.
We've got a Facebook page. Please, everyone join. We need the community. We need this for the future.
Just final shot. Anyone wanting to join the movement or sign the petition, where do they go?
Well, we have a little open WhatsApp group which anybody can join. Our link is there. I believe the link has been shared to multiple WhatsApp groups. We'll actually provide you with information.
Cool. This will go up as a podcast shortly, so we'll have that on the podcast.
100%, please. And there's
on
a
the
Facebook
announcement.
Page.
So all of those details will be available to you. And thanks to my special guests for joining me on the morning show. It's definitely not over, this one.